Good morning, church. Those two songs and then the scripture reading before those, that is a great preparation for our text today. If you were listening to the words of those songs, it really helped us focus on what God has for us in Hebrews chapter 11. So if you want to turn your Bibles to Hebrews 11, we're continuing to work through this chapter on what has been called the Hall of Faith. And all of these examples that we see in Hebrews 11, they really are given to us so that we would learn from them. And we have been learning from them. I hope as we started this at the beginning of the year, we have been learning a lot about what God is calling us to live each and every day, which is a courageous faith in who He is and what He has said for us. And so they serve as examples for us to learn from, but then as well follow. That's the point of an example, is for you to look at it, study it, understand it, and then apply it. And so therefore, it's our responsibility to live out courageous faith as these folks lived out their faith. And so we are continuing with the life of Moses, and Moses lived a life of faith. So therefore, we are to live a life of faith. We have talked about Abraham and others, and Moses gave really his life, and we'll understand some of those things here in just a few minutes, but he gave his life to living for his God and the people that God had chosen. And we kind of looked at the faith of his parents last week in Hebrews chapter 11, in verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that he was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. And so we looked at two basic ideas, two motivations for faith exhibited by Moses' parents. And one is that God is the ruler over all, and that God has a purpose for all of our lives. And so that was the takeaway from the lives of Moses' parents. But as we look at verse 24 today, we're going to start focusing in on the life of Moses himself and what we can learn about him. Verse 24 says, by faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, considering the reproach of Christ greater than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. I want us to think about this morning. Is faith your lifestyle? Is faith your lifestyle? When we think of the idea of lifestyle, it's what controls us. And it really kind of summarizes everything that we are, what we give our lives to, how we think, our actions. And so the lifestyle of Moses, I think, can be described as a lifestyle of faith. And that's the question I want you to ask yourself this morning as we look into God's word, and then even throughout this week. Is faith my lifestyle? Faith in God and what He has for me, His promises, His truth, is that my lifestyle? Does it control everything that I am? Now, Hebrews 11:1 describes faith for us. It says that we have this assurance of faith. And we have this conviction, and the assurance is of things that are hoped for, and this conviction of things even though we do not see them. So that idea of faith should control our lives. It controlled Moses' life, and therefore he was able to act appropriately and choose the right thing when God asked him to, because it was his lifestyle. That's how he matured. He matured in his faith and the lifestyle that he lived out. Now, I want you to focus for a moment here at the end of 26. It says, therefore, he was looking forward to the reward. We're going to talk about all the things that Moses did and the choices he made, what he resisted and what he chose to follow. But all of that was motivated by what is described here. He was looking to the reward. And that's what we've seen over and over and over. In fact, Hebrews 11:6 says, "And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him." That is the basis of faith that God requires from our lives. He wants us to walk by faith, which is believing that God is who he said he is, and that he will follow through on what he said he would do for us, which is provide redemption all the way to the point of glorification where we will enjoy his presence and all of his blessings forever and ever. That is the reward of all believers. And we see here that Moses, God tells us in his word that Moses was able to do all of these things, and I would put them in the category of right choices, choices of faith, because he was living by faith. It was his lifestyle. He understood that there was a reward that he was looking forward to. And that reward of God, his presence, and all of his blessings motivated him to walk by faith each and every day and at each choice in his life that no doubt were very, very difficult. So the lifestyle of faith that should characterize our life is a life believing who God is and that he is going to reward us. So the choices we make day in, day out to resist what we desire that does not conform to God's will and follow what God does ask us to do and live for him and serve him, all of it is worth it. Our faith is worth it because God is who he said he is. And he does reward those who seek him. And so Moses was motivated by faith, faith in the fact that he would be rewarded ultimately if he would make these wise choices. And so faith is assured of things that are hoped for. There's a conviction of it. There's a grounded assurance that it will come to be. And it's also something that it looks forward. It looks to the reward. It believes the word of God and then lives as if the future is what matters. So let me ask you again, is faith your lifestyle? Believing who God is and the future that he has for us. Is that what characterizes your life? Is that what controls your thinking? Moses here lived a lifestyle of faith, so therefore he could make those wise choices, choices that then God could use him in a major way. Now, verse 24, that's where we want to kind of look this morning as we begin focusing on Moses' faith. It says, "By faith, Moses, when he had grown up." Now we have here the idea that Moses is around 40 years of age. Acts chapter 7 verse 23 tells us that he's 40 years of age, and it's interesting that he is described as being a grown up at 40 years of age. Now for us, many times we put the age of 18, maybe 20, because our society kind of says that. But here, he was mature at the age of 40. Now, that may help us even in our own expectations of our youth and our young people. I would say that most of us probably look back to our years and in our high school years and maybe even our 20s and think of all the choices we made and all the things that would not describe maturity. And yet so many times we hold our own young people with the expectation that they have to be at a certain place spiritually, or they have to be at a place where they have to make all of these wise decisions, even when they're not fully mature. And so young people who may be watching today, there's hope for you. You may be in a situation where you're trying to do what's right, but you're making foolish choices and the battle is there. And And it's okay. I talk to Robert from time to time, and we talk about the idea of our young people. And my response typically is, let's wait and see what a person's like in their mid-20s and beyond. Because the jury's still out on most people. And I look back in my own life and the people who I grew up with and many young people who thought they, you know, were the greatest spiritual people and they had the most talent and things happening for their lives. You look at their lives today and it doesn't look anything like courageous faith. But then there are those who maybe, you know, really struggle and you question and you're not sure what God's going to do. And you look at their lives later and you see real, genuine faith. And we have here Moses in a situation, 40 years of age. And when he was at this place, he had to make significant choices in his life. And those choices involved really refusing certain things and following other things. So we kind of have that back and forth here this morning in our text. Look back in the scripture. It says when he had grown up, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. So here we have Moses grown at the age of 40 at a place in his life where he had experienced the good providence of God. Now, the Bible tells us that he had enjoyed growing up in Pharaoh's household. If you're not familiar with the story and maybe you didn't tune in last week, but where we find the history of Moses, there's Acts chapter 7 actually is very interesting in how Stephen summarizes it as he has given his defense. But it tells us that in God's providence, his life was spared. Pharaoh had given the rule and the edict that all of the young males were to be thrown into the Nile. Well, we understand that God preserved Moses' life, and he ended up being found by Pharaoh's daughter, and she took him in. It tells us in Acts chapter 7, she nurtured him as if he was her own child. So in God's good providence, he allowed Moses to be in a place of security and comfort when he could have lost his life at a very young age. And so this privilege that he had as a Hebrew boy, he was supposed to be killed, but God saved his life and put him in the place of the most powerful family, probably at this time in the world, if you can imagine such a thing, that he found himself looked at as the son of Pharaoh's daughter, the grandson of Pharaoh, the greatest ruler or one of the greatest rulers in all of the world at this time. This Hebrew boy found himself in a wonderful spot, in a wonderful point of privilege and benefit. Really, anything you probably could imagine, he had the opportunity to enjoy. Because, as well, Acts 7 tells us that he was educated in all the Egyptian ways. He probably had access to the finest of education. And the opportunities that were afforded to him were probably endless as he had the opportunity to be raised in this very influential family. And Acts 7:22 tells us that he grew up to be a man of power in word and in deed. So all of the education, all of the opportunities that Moses had allowed him to become a man of power in word and in deed. And the scripture tells us that with all of this upbringing, with all of this opportunity, with all of the things that he possibly could enjoy for his entire life, he refused it. And that's where I want us to focus. First of all, he refused to be called Pharaoh's, the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now, we read this and we probably don't fully understand the context of what this means. But if you can just think through being in a spot of position and power and privilege and pleasure and plenty, all of the things that this would provide for a person. Moses came to the point where he said, I will refuse it. Now, I want you to understand as we go through this that this was the call on Moses's life. So this is not saying that when God blesses someone with material gain and then even opportunity to rule. We have another example of Joseph that tells us that God did put him into a place of power with all of those things to accomplish his purposes. But Moses knew for his life, this was the application of his lifestyle of faith, that he had to come to a point where he would choose. He was either going to choose to follow God or stay where he was and enjoy all of the things that were afforded to him, having grown up in this place. Now, just, you know, simply put, the first thing he refused was position. He probably, we don't have a lot of details, but he probably would have been offered some sort of official spot in a prominent position in Egypt as he went through his life. We don't know, again, the details of what probably was offered to him, but we understand that given the context, this was a major choice to refuse it, to say, I am not part of Pharaoh's family. I'm actually going to identify myself with the people of God. This was a major choice. He basically refused to be known because that's what position offers. You have a name for yourself. You have power. You gain fame. There's honor. There's privilege with all these things. So imagine a choice to give all of that up. We have people today who measure their complete identity with how many people follow them, whether it's how many people like their photos or like their videos or how many views they have. And really, it's been interesting to me as this whole time of isolation has brought a lot of that out for people. It's not always the motivation, but sometimes you can kind of see that people just like to be out there. And people like to be known. We have people who desire for their videos. They produce so many videos. They're just hoping that one of them goes viral and the world will know who they are. We have people who set up YouTube channels hoping to gain a following where that would give them enough exposure to then eventually get money. And then maybe that could be their life as they have the opportunity to entertain. Again, I'm not saying that those things are wrong. But we have within us, in part of our depravity, is that we sometimes are motivated by selfish ambition and we want our name to be out there. We want to be known. We want to have privilege and position. And Moses had all of these things. But it says by faith, remember, faith is being controlled by what is coming ahead. So by faith, he resisted, in fact, he refused the position, the power, the fame, the honor. He refused that because he knew something was coming down the road. He was looking forward to the reward. It's an amazing choice when you think about it. The second thing he chose to refuse, it tells us in verse 25, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. You can also imagine in a secular environment in the land of Egypt, in this particular household, and all that would be afforded to you as far as the pleasure is concerned. Scripture says that he refused pleasure. Just like he refused his position, he was choosing to refuse and enjoy the pleasures of sin for something else, something that he thought was better. Again, a very significant choice. This word is used in other times in Scripture as relating to things that we eat and sexual activity and really describing the physical delights that this world has to offer. So indulging in sin would have brought Moses great pleasure. But the scripture tells us that pleasure is temporary and he was looking for the eternal. He was looking for something beyond the here and now for his satisfaction. By faith, it says, he was looking forward. So as he matured in his life, he started to realize, you know what? Life is not about position, and life is not about pleasure. And then the third thing that it tells us that he resisted was really just in alliteration, plenty. It's that idea of treasure, that money and that wealth that would come from a situation like he would have been in. So imagine having this opportunity from a baby, even though he didn't rightfully deserve to be there. But in God's providence, he allowed him to be there, and his entire life, he could have had everything at his fingertips that he possibly thought would bring satisfaction and enjoyment. Never having to worry about money, never having to worry about security. It said that he chose to refuse it. Verse 26, considering the reproach of Christ, greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. Now, we can read these verses very quickly, and if we have any understanding and comprehension of the scripture, we probably have known these things about Moses. And so we read these, and maybe the impact of them, it doesn't settle in. But for an actual person living in this particular time, these choices were major. To give up position and pleasure and plenty, to say that there is something better. He couldn't see it because he was looking forward to the unknown. And that's what faith is. It's the conviction of things not seen. But Moses here developed, as he matured, a lifestyle of faith that allowed him to, in this moment where God was saying, I have something else for you, he made these kinds of choices. He operated by faith because he was looking forward. The reward of God made the fame of Egypt look small. The reward of God makes the fame of even today look small. So if you find yourself tempted and wanting to be known, and you want your name to have a place of position and power, there's something actually better. The reward of God, the reward of God makes the pleasures of Egypt look very, very dissatisfying. You can see the pleasures and the wealth, everything in the here and now. That's what you can see and touch. But faith, courageous faith, believes that the reward of God is better. The monies of Pharaoh are like pennies compared to the reward of eternity. Faith became his lifestyle. Faith rejects what we see in the immediate and the temptations that we want to give our life to in the here and now. And it actually helps us to look for the ultimate. And this is a daily choice, something that we constantly have to fight our flesh with. But faith rejects things that don't represent God's will for our life. And it chooses then the things that God has for us. And that's what we find in Moses' life. Going back to verse 24, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, considering the reproach of Christ greater than the riches of Egypt. And so the choosing then was to choose faith and the life that God was going to reveal to him, but choosing to identify himself not with Pharaoh's family anymore, but with the people of God. Now, who were the people of God? Well, they were slaves. There was no position. There was no power. There was no fame. These people were the ones on the lowest point of the social scale in Egypt at this time. In fact, they were the ones that Pharaoh himself feared, and he basically hated. He wanted to get rid of them. And Moses here said, you know what, I'm not going to choose what he knew as his mother and grandfather. I'm going to choose the people of God. There was something happening in Moses' life where he understood that he belonged to the Hebrew nation. And it wasn't just the physical nation, but it was something spiritual where he was belonging to the people of God. And so therefore, in this choice, he was saying, I'm giving up my identity. Everything that I've ever known, everything that I possibly could be, I'm choosing to identify with the people of God, the lowest of low at this time. And with this, verse 25 says that he would be ill-treated. So not only is he giving up his position and his honor and his fame to be identified with people, but he understood that this identification would actually bring ill-treatment in his life. It would bring negative effects of his life. He would actually suffer because of these things. And he said, yes, that's what I will do. Why? Because faith was his lifestyle. It saw beyond the here and now, and it looked to the reward, something that was greater. He chose to be mistreated with God's people. It would have been easy to stay with the group and be identified with the household of Pharaoh. But that's not what he chose. He wanted to be identified with the people of God. He did not believe that the destiny of the Hebrews was just slavery. He believed in the promises that were granted to Abraham and those who went before him. And so he believed that God had something greater for them. And so he chose social loss and an honor for that of identifying with God. He also, it tells us in verse 26, he chose the reproach of Christ greater than the riches and treasures of Egypt. He chose to identify himself with the Messiah. He chose to suffer and partake in the suffering Messiah as opposed to staying and having everything comfortable and secure. Now, if you remember where we started back months ago now in this study, we learned that because of man's sin with Adam and Eve, they chose to go against the will of God. And therefore, the sin that they committed had to be made right. There had to be a compensation for that sin. And so God came and he punished them, but he said, I will send a Redeemer. I will send one who will crush the evil one. And so from that point on, the hope was in God's people that there would be one that would come down the road that would bring redemption for them. And so this is a wonderful example to really help us understand how to interpret all of the Old Testament. The Old Testament, they're just not, you know, these narrative stories about individual people. It's actually the story of the Messiah and how God has this glorious program and every point points to the Messiah that was coming. And it tells us in the scripture that Moses chose the reproach of Christ. He chose the coming Messiah and what the Messiah would have to go through in order for redemption to take place. And that's where Moses wanted to find his identity. Jesus himself, when he came, he said that in John 5:46 that Moses wrote about him way back in the beginning. So Moses was aware of the promise of God in the Messiah. And the scripture tells us that he chose in this moment to really go down the road of reproach and suffering with this coming Messiah, as opposed to remaining in Egypt and having a life of ease and everything that he possibly could have and imagined. Because faith was his lifestyle. Faith in God and God's promises and God's desire for his life controlled his choices. As he matured, faith became his lifestyle. Is faith your lifestyle? Does faith control the choices in your life as it relates to even these things like position and what you have and the pleasures that you choose or choose not to partake in? In this act of choosing to identify with the people of God, he was choosing to suffer with the coming Messiah. This was an amazing choice. And it was all motivated at the end of verse 26 because he was looking for the reward. That's what faith is. You must believe that God is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. This idea of looking for the reward, it has the meaning of the verb here has intrinsic to it the idea of looking away. So it was a deliberate choice. It was a deliberate turning. I am turning away from all of these things and I'm looking to something else. And that reward that he was looking to was God and his glory and his beauty and his excellence and his redemption and all that is in connection to the reward that we have for eternity. Moses was looking to the future, spiritual rewards, as opposed to material advantages and all of the things that he could have enjoyed. Choosing Christ and his people brought for Moses an eternity of unending joy. Boy, I can't imagine these kinds of choices. Where you have the opportunity to have everything at your fingertips. Everything your heart possibly could imagine that you could find enjoyment in. Say, nope, I'm not going to choose that. I'm actually going to choose to follow Christ. I'm going to choose to live by faith. I'm going to let faith control my lifestyle. As I was thinking through this message this week, I was thinking about my wife and I in different points in our lives where we came up with a choice where we had to go one direction or the other. And when we chose to follow what God had, it didn't always bring the greatest of physical blessings, material blessings, or even really just the enjoyment of the blessings, even in sometimes in relationships. But it was the right choice. It's something that we must do. It must be our lifestyle. We choose to obey God when he calls us to do something, when he calls us to serve him in a certain way or take on a responsibility or do something. We must be controlled by something beyond the here and now. We must believe that there is something down the road, that glorious reward of God, that it will be worth it to go through even sometimes what would involve suffering in the here and now. And there have been times when God has actually brought significant suffering into our lives because of a choice we made in faith. But we still have to trust God. We have to let faith be our lifestyle. That was the life of Moses. And I want to just ask you a few questions as we close. Have you made any choices in your life that would be contrary to what most people think you should do? Have you made any choices in your life that from the here and now, from the temporal perspective of people, they thought you were absolutely crazy? But you knew that God was asking you to do something or serve him in a way, and therefore you had to even potentially, you know, give up relationships because of what you thought God wanted you to do. Have you made choices that really seem ridiculous from a temporal perspective? Think through your life. Moses was in his 40s. At a point where his choices looked absolutely ridiculous at face value. But being controlled by faith, it actually brought about the blessings of God, and God used him in a major way. Has it been for you as well that your choice perhaps looked absolutely ridiculous, but you did it in faith? Keep trusting. You may not have even experienced the blessings of God yet because of that choice. Keep trusting that there is something greater coming in the reward of God. don't quit. One more question. Have you moved out of your comfort zone at all to serve the Lord? Has there been any point in your recent days where you have gone out of your comfort zone, what you find your security in and your happiness even, and have you done anything outside of your comfort zone to serve Jesus? To say, you know what, my life is controlled by faith. And I'm not telling you to go do some crazy thing. And, you know, please understand, I try to walk all things through the grid of Scripture. But are there any points in your life where you're being tested, where your faith is having to really hit the road, where the rubber meets the road, and your lifestyle is potentially revealed that faith does not control your everyday life? From Moses' example, and as I said in the beginning, we should be following his example. Faith should be our lifestyle. We should be refusing the things that God does not want for our lives in the here and now, and choosing to follow and serve where he does want us in the here and now. Because we have that assurance of things hoped for. We have the conviction of the things that aren't seen, that God is a rewarder of those who seek him. The passages we read earlier from the scripture, Jesus' own words, encouraging us to take up our cross and follow him. And that cross and that denying of ourselves, it looks different for different people, as it did from Moses to Joseph. But still, we're called to deny ourselves and our desires and live by faith and serve our God. Another passage from the Apostle Paul, Philippians 3:8. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ. Another godly example of someone who lived by faith. When God got a hold of his heart and he turned from his sin and he looked to the Messiah, he looked to Jesus for his salvation, it started him down a path of faith. It started him down a lifestyle of faith, so that the things of this earth he could look at and say, it's all rubbish as compared to the surpassing value of knowing Jesus Christ and serving Christ. Where he would say in 2 Corinthians 4:18, we look not at the things that are seen, but the things that are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal. That should be our lives. Day in, day out, looking for eternity and all that it has to offer. God, his glory, his presence, his blessing, his redemption. And so therefore we're controlled in the here and now by faith. We walk by faith. We give up. We refuse, as Moses did, whatever God has for us. And as the applications go across the spectrum, we refuse the here and now, the temporal, the things that are seen, for the things that are not seen. We trust God. We keep walking by faith. Is faith your lifestyle in 2020? Does it control your thinking and therefore your actions? May God help us as we consider this life, not someone who is perfect. In fact, there's examples in Scripture of how he blew it in major ways. But someone who chose a lifestyle of faith, faith in the one true God, believing that he was a rewarder if he would seek him. And so should we. We should choose a lifestyle of faith. Let's pray as we close. Father God, I pray that we are a people in 2020 who walk and live by faith. God, help us to be like Moses, to be controlled. May our lifestyles look like that of a strong faith in you, courageous faith. God, help us to believe that you are a rewarder. Help us to keep looking forward. Help us to refuse the things that don't look like you and trust as we look to the future and the hope that we have of glory. God, would you do and accomplish all of your purposes for those perhaps who are listening this morning who don't know you? God, I pray that you would work in their heart, that they would see Jesus, that they would turn from their sin and they would trust Jesus as their personal Savior. And God, as your people, I pray that our life would be identified with Christ and his suffering, and we would choose the eternal as opposed to the temporal. Thank you, God, for what you have done and what you will do. In your holy and precious name, I pray. Amen.